Dear friends, dear brethren, God bless you all. We will answer today some of your questions, some of your very interesting questions which you sent in. I want to thank all of you who write in. I find your questions very deep, and I myself am interested to hear the answers Brother Joseph will give, and I'm sure many other listeners from YouTube might want to hear this. I'm here with Brother Joseph. He's having a cup of tea. God bless you.
God bless you. Hey, don't reveal all my secrets, please.
I went to Brother Joseph yesterday and I said, how will you answer this question and that question? And he told me, wait, tomorrow morning we'll talk.
Yeah, because I didn't know.
So some questions he knows, but some others are new for him. I would like to start with a dear sister from the States. For privacy reason, I won't give her name, but I can say the initial. Our sister and friend, Dee, from the States, she's asking, when you all prepared to leave the country you came from, did you experience a flood of trials the closer it came to move? Seems like attacks are coming our way each week now as we prepare to move. The Lord had given us strength to overcome, but they seem to try to slow us down and try to divert our attention. I realize that we have to stay prayed up even more. Also, this is helping us to mature more as believers. Now, this brethren, they are a family and they are planning to leave the States for the end time. They know already we left Europe.
Yeah, so they came over here, if you understand.
Yes.
God bless them.
They know already we left Europe
We will see them soon.
Amen.
Praise God.
And we've been sharing from our lessons how we left. So they want to know, were we also attacked by a flood of trials and how did we overcome?
Well, what can I say? That we never have trials. Tell you, the devil never attacks us. There is something wrong with us, you know. I think it was John Wesley was walking by the river and he was complaining. As praying and say, God, what's wrong with me? Oh, God, something is wrong with me. Lord, it's been 1 week since I've been persecuted. Am I doing something wrong? What's wrong, God? Why the devil doesn't fight me? A whole week, just nothing happened against me. At this point, you heard somebody yelling from the other side of the river. You are John Wesley. Yes, I am. You son of this and son of that and piece of this and piece of that. And just a bunch of beep words, you know. So he starts throwing stones at him. And John starts praising the Lord. Oh, praise God, back to normal.
So what does that mean?
It means that like Jesus said in Matthew 5, I think 10 to 12, says something like, blessed are you when they are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. So for so persecuted they are the prophets which were before you. So blessed are you when they persecute you. In Luke 6, it says, along the same line, it says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Mm-hmm. So in order to walk in the straight and the narrow, you need to be A, persecuted, all right? And B, you need to, you're blessed by from God when you're persecuted. So blessed when you're persecuted, woe unto you when you're not persecuted. You got that?
So the persecution and the trials are a sign that you're in God's will?
In a way, yes. Yes, you know, how Jesus started his ministry, he just comes out of the water, all right, all wet. We just got baptized by John the Baptist, and he walks. Where does he go? He goes to Nazareth, you know. Now, the Jesus of Mary has become Jesus Christ, you know. He has received the Holy Spirit. Until then, he was just son of Mary, conceived of the Virgin. But then, as soon as he became Christ, all right, Christ means anointed, okay? So he gets the anointing, the Holy Spirit, and becomes anointed. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Mary, become Jesus Christ, Son of God. And so what does he do? First of all, he walks to Nazareth. That's where he wants to start preaching. And as soon as he gets there, he goes to the synagogue and he preaches today this prophecy is fulfilled, that I'm the anointed, the Spirit of God is upon me. So when they hear that, they just try to grab him and trying to cast him out off the cliff where the city of Nazareth is built. And so that's how Jesus begins his ministry, by people trying to cast him out off the cliff of Nazareth. You understand? And so it begins by people trying to kill him and ends by people killing him. Mm-hmm. So in Acts 14, I think verse 22, it says, through many tribulations you shall enter the kingdom of God. So it's a false doctrine of today that if God loves you, have no tribulation, if we're under protection, nothing is going to happen to us. We're under the protection of Psalm 91. We will not trip against a stone. The angels will carry us. Yes, they will sometimes, but sometimes you get crucified on some Calvary. Okay, you know, Jesus definitely was protected by the angels, definitely was, but not so much that he would not suffer persecution. Like he says in John 15, verse 18-22, he said, they persecuted me, they persecuted you, kept my word, they keep your word. Matthew chapter 10, they called Beelzebub, the master of the house, that's Jesus, and much more they call the same those of his household, his disciples.
Okay. Yes, yes. Now, when you and your family left Europe, did you experience many obstacles, trials, attacks from the devil?
Yeah, but not just when we left Europe. I'm experiencing every day. Of course, when you're moving from a place to the other, the devil has attacks the worst because you try to shoot you in the back, okay? That's a time when the landlords of the house might become weird. Well, it didn't in our case, praise God, in that situation. When some friends betray you, when... things go wrong, you know, like it may happen that one day something very important is happening in the evening. Like sometimes I have to go meet some people, have an important meeting, important preaching in a radio, whatever. And in the morning, two, three things go wrong, like a child gets hurt, a window breaks, whatever, you know. Or the police stops you while you're driving, checks your documents, it makes you waste half an hour, this and that. All kinds of stuff can happen. Yeah, definitely. It's like, you know, First Peter 5:8, it says the devil goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Mm-hmm. The three horsemen of Revelation 6, the red war and black multinationals and business and yellow death, they ride continually, taking the peace from the earth, sowing, provoking wars like it's happening now in Korea, in Iraq, in Iran, in Afghanistan. Those things are provoked by the devil. They don't just happen casually. And men are silly. They just fall into the ditch because they don't have Jesus. You know, the governments are Christless. The nations are godless. The schools are without Bible. So it's like the world is without compass, compassless. The world doesn't know where it's going. The world doesn't know what's right and wrong. Yeah. I mean, there was no way for the Germans to know that Nazism was right or wrong. There was no way for the communist Russians to know that communism was right or wrong. There is no way for the Americans to know that capitalism, godless capitalism, right or wrong. They're not the Bible. How can they know? They have to wait until Hitler commits suicide, until communism collapses, until capitalism collapses on itself.
Yes.
You understand? So they don't have God. How can they know what's right or wrong? So in conclusion, all kinds of things go on because the devil goes around. The devil's demons go around purposely to provoke wars, hatred, divorces, rebelliances in the children, divisions in the houses, etc. This thing don't happen casually. Mm-hmm. That's the devil's job, provoke evil.
Yes, I remember that when we left Europe, it took us a few months to sell everything we had. And the longest that slowed us down was to sell the car we had. Yeah. That took really many months.
Yeah, no, but that was good. It was a blessing because we kept using it until the last day.
It's true, yes.
You know, in our lack of faith, we tried to sell it right away.
I never saw it like that.
No. In my lack of faith, let's sell it right away. We had this beautiful Volkswagen van, second hands. We bought it, very nice. And it had nine seats. We could transport all our children. And it's like we really need, we consider about shipping it in a container, but then we calculate, we say, now wait a second, it's going to be without papers, we have to legalize this and that, just forget it. We decided to sell it, and it was great.
Yes.
But we, the Lord in his wisdom kept waited until the last moment, then we sold it, and it was great.
So we can use it. Huh? That's good. I never saw it that way. I always thought it took so long. No. It was the worst trial.
No, that was not the devil. It was just our stupidity. It was our silliness. We tried to sell it. They were precious and valuable too soon. There was a car. And the Lord, just at the last moment, click.
Okay, and the next thing.
And we sold it to missionaries.
It's true, yes.
And it was a very blessed car, very nice, very well kept. Was really top. We fixed everything fixable. And it was a blessing to sell it to missionary, praise God.
Yes. And the next thing, which in my opinion was one of the trials, at least I had, is people around. I mean, some people were very understanding and they were supporting us nice, but some people really didn't understand our idea to move and why we move and how come the end time is here, including some of our friends, Christians, who were dear to us.
They got upset. The guy almost beat me up.
So this was one trial I had. The people are so unspiritual and they don't see in the Bible the signs that we are very close.
Yeah. I remember this this Christian, and he was a Baptist, Pentecostals, and this guy had a big business. They were selling all kinds of stuff. I said, listen, prepare for the entire world. When the mark of the beast comes, you won't be able to run your business. Prepare an alternative. And so I told this for months, years. Finally, when it was just about time soon for me to leave, I said, listen, I think the Lord wants you to get an alternative. When I bump into him. And he goes, oh, you're offended. But what? He started yelling to me in the street, too.
Was I there? Yes.
He started yelling and said, but what do you think? Are you crazy? You want me to just get out, just close my shop and move to another country? What are you talking? I said, you don't have to move to another country unless the Lord tells you, but you do need to
prepare.
We all need to prepare because, the Bible says if you don't prepare, you got to be, you know.
You even taught him the scripture, sell everything that you have. And he thought that's crazy.
See, he says everything. He's been working all his life to accumulate some money. We were witnessing, you know, to this family. We witnessed. We went to Visa. They have this. Because we went to the shop to. We bought a few things that we needed. But they have a huge shop. So we witnessed about Jesus. They invited us to their house because the man is very depressed and everything, and they kind of oldish, old, but they have so much possessions. But now that they have everything, the guy's into depressions and he's sick and he cannot work anymore almost. And we witnessed about
He couldn't sleep at night.
Yeah, he couldn't sleep at night. So anyway, we went to visit them and we witnessed about Jesus and we had a beautiful evening. And my wife there, but also was there, and it was nice. I said, look, I'm like a doctor. I said, here is your prescription. So I gave him a brief prescription, a chapter. So you need to read the Bible every day. Focus on the gospel. When you cannot sleep at night, read the Psalms. And then we gave him some CD with the most beautiful music in Spanish. We are in South America.
Yes.
And I said, make sure you don't. They have a huge TV, like a 2 meters wide screen, a meter. I mean, it's ridiculous. I said, you know, that TV, you can just forget it unless you play Christian TV.
It's like a cinema.
And we gave them a few DVD with the Christian movies in Spanish. They were grateful. I said, from now on, my suggestion is to get away from TV because you read the Bible half an hour, then you watch TV 2 hours, you erase everything.
Yes.
So my suggestion as a godly doctor, spiritual doctor, you get away from TV, you and your wife, because you hear watching TV, shaking your head, oh, bad, and you watch it every day. At night, you go to bed with your wife, okay, and the girl from Hollywood is always going to be cuter than your wife. But those girls are there for money. Your wife is here for love.
Yes.
And so we went on and on. At the end, the guy was very receptive and he received. We phoned back the next day. They said they studied the scripture. They studied the Bible together. And for the first time, the wife said, for the first time, he began to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the demons and the bad spirits are leaving the house.
And
praise
God. They read the Bible together.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. So anyway, I was trying to tell this guy that, look, I have some pictures, some photographs of some people that they were rich people who were, when they were at the funeral, they were buried in a coffin made of gold. I said, see, is that what we want to do? That's ridiculous. You're not taking anything out. And so they kind of agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been working all their life, accumulating everything. Now that they have more they could possibly desire, more food that they can eat, more cars that they can drive, more houses that they can live in, more properties, now they are sick. See, so I gave a scripture, Mark chapter 8, verse 34, 35, 37, I think. It says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall I give a man in exchange? What shall he profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? So I'm telling the brethren who are packing to leave, don't worry, sell what you can. What you cannot, do like we did, they give it to the missionaries. Give to the missionary, to the orphanages, and the Lord will bless you. Don't stay there and try to sell every pair of second-hand socks, every second-hand bicycle. Some people, they're not living because they want to bring more money. And I say, please don't do that, because that's not living by faith. You put your faith in more money. You just need Jesus said, take no heed for the morrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Matthew 6:34, I think. You just need to come here, roll up your sleeves and just work like a stepfather of Jesus, Joseph. He was working as a carpenter. That's how he supported his family in Egypt.
Amen.
So come here and work. But don't expect to come here and become like a bank director, or you need a couple of computers on your, and an office. Do whatever, go sell fruit and veg, be a humble carpenter, a plumber, whatever. Just get a little job selling fruit and veg, selling candy, selling whatever you want. Just be humble.
Amen.
You know, if you don't spend so much money, you don't need to make so much money. You don't need to have a house with swimming pools or this and that, okay? You just need a, I don't know how many people you are. Maybe you need just one room, maybe two rooms, a toilet, and that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes. Now, I want to ask you concerning the sister who wrote about their preparations to move. I want to ask you a dilemma I used to have. Often when I had an obstacle in my life or a trial, an attack from the enemy, I was confused. Is this attack like allowed by God because I am out of God's will and God is trying to stop me, to put me back on the right way? Or is just the devil fighting me? Like, is it God slowing me down, putting obstacles in my way, or is the devil fighting and I need to keep pushing?
Well, listen,
how do I know the difference?
This has been a dilemma. It was a dilemma for many years, okay? I tried to figure out, is it the devil or is it God fighting me?
Well, you better learn the difference.
Yeah, you know, it's like, hey, I'm sick. Is it the devil, you know, sickness, or is it God to slow me down? My car broke. Is it because God was trying to teach me a lesson, or is it the devil? My children are sick. Like, we have no enough finances. We this and that. Difficult problem. Is it God or the devil? And we are trying to do this and that. We're trying to go to another country. We are to, and it's very difficult to go to another country. Remember, we were trying to go to a country one time. It took us many months, and we never made it.
Yes.
It just was not God's will.
Yes.
It never worked out. It just was just our desire. And for all these months, we thought the devil was fighting, but no, it was just God.
It's true.
All right. And so I made it an object of prayer, in fact.
Yeah,
I got desperate. I said, God, I need to know if it's you or the devil.
Right.
You have to speak to me, God. And it takes like discernment, you know, because it's kind of, the devil is a great imitator, you know. 2 Corinthians 11, angel of light, he comes in the name of Jesus. So it takes discernment. You need to get on your knees and ask for the gift of discernment. If not a gift, at least develop. All right, just like healing. If you don't have the gift of healing, the magic touch, well, at least you can pray in the name of Jesus by faith and you can still get healing.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, it's like in the situation when it took many months to go to the specific country, it was a country in Africa, and we didn't work out. The lesson out of that was that when is the devil fighting you, the devil cannot fight you more than half a day. More than a day, more than a couple of days. That's it.
Really?
Really. When he's longer than that, it's probably God.
How come he fought with Jesus 40 days in the desert?
No, he didn't fight with Jesus 40 days. Not at all. Mm. If you read the Bible carefully, that's in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4. It says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. You know, it was God that was sent God to be tempted. Eh?
Okay.
So, and because people think that the Christian should not have attack of the devil, God does not tempt to listen. The Holy Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
So when he went in the wilderness, it says he was there 40 days, and afterwards he got hungry. And then the devil gathered enough courage to show up. You know, the picture I have is that the devil for 40 days was scared to death. He didn't want to lose faith in front of his demons. So the picture I have is that after 40 days, the demon, they just push him in. They say, come on, if you're the devil, if you're the leader, go there and fight it out. And Jesus just gave a couple, two, three punches in the face. Like, you know, you put the punching gloves, you know, with the scripture. And bang, 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 it knocked him flat.
That's a new perspective.
You understand? So it took the devil 40 days to gather the courage to go and talk to Jesus. 40 days it took. And Jesus was, because it says, and Jesus got hungry, it says. So the devil said, here's my chance. He hungry. I'm going to tempt this guy to multiply, to change the stones into bread. And so the devil did that. So Jesus just punched him in the face with the scripture. And the devil said, okay, I'll use scripture too. And Jesus punched him back with another scripture. See, Jesus himself, the Word made flesh, was using scripture. In fact, from the Old Testament even.
What about there is in Daniel, the scripture, what it says, an angel came to help Daniel, but he had to fight 40 days, was it?
Yeah, 21 days.
21, okay, sorry. 21 days he had to fight against the devil.
Well, some preachers interpret that was in the Old Testament. Not really. That's not to do with the Old Testament. Because if you see in 2 Kings chapter 6, I think, is like the servant of Elisha said, oh, my Lord, we are surrounded by the Syrians, they will kill us. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. So the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw around the hills, around the town, surrounded by chariots of fire from heaven. Instantly, they didn't wait 21 days to come and defend them. So that doesn't apply to the Old Testament. That was just a situation that God allowed it for whatever reason. Just like Jesus would tell a blind, go wash in the pool of Siloam. But another guy didn't send it to Siloam and touch his eyes. And he said, I see men as trees. That was the second situation before he healed them. Then another guy they took some mud, they spit in the dust, and made some mud and splashed it in his eyes. So you understand, it's not that.
Yes.
You can imagine the three different denominations, they say, oh, to be healed, first you have to see men as trees. And then the guy says, you're a liar. To be healed, you have to spit in your eyes and splash some mud. You're a liar because you need to go to the pool of Siloam. And then the other guy comes, no, you're all liars because it's according to your faith be done unto you. It's like every situation is different.
It's
like
true.
Jesus told that guy in Mark chapter 10, the guy was asking, what can I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, go sell all that you have, give to the poor. But that was just one situation. He didn't say that to everybody. Because in that case, Jesus discerned the guy had his love for money was blocking his salvation. That was not the case every time.
Yes.
So in the case of Daniel, there was a situation that the Lord allowed the devil to stop the angel for 21 days. Possible that just like Jesus was tested 40 days, so Daniel had to be tested 21 days, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so whatever.
Well, it's not so much the timing anyway. The point is to know when it's God slowing you down or is the devil fighting you.
Yeah, again, I repeat. My lesson when it took months and months to find out that we were not supposed to go to Kenya in Africa. And then I asked God, why did it take me so many months to figure out? And for many months I kept saying the devil is fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord showed me you're wrong. It's like the devil does not have the power to stand against you for 21 days or more than that if you really have the faith and you rebuke the devil, you go on the attack. In the case of Daniel, it didn't make any difference. He was there comfortable in Babylon. Nothing happened, not different. The prophecy was supposed to happen 2,500 years later. Okay? So there's no rush. Mm-hmm. You know, in that case, God allowed Daniel to be tested.
I understand.
Jesus was tested 40 days. Why 40 days? Did Jesus need 40 days? Was he so weak? No, he just, that was the plan.
But why did he do 40 days there if the devil came only at the end?
Well, because Jesus, everything he did, there was to be an example for us. Because sometimes, it's like I said in Revelation 2, verse 10, says, you shall have tribulation 10 days and be faithful unto death. Because sometimes you're in a jail for 10 days, sometimes Richard Wumbra was in jail for 14 years, tortured by the communists.
Mm-hmm.
Christians, they died in the arena, they were in prison. Jesus taught us that we need to endure.
I see.
Either endure until the end shall be saved, Matthew 24:13.
Mm-hmm.
You need to endure until the end. The tribulation will be 3.5 years. It was just a teaching that doesn't matter if it's 40 days or 40 months or 3.5 years of tribulation, you need to endure until the end.
Yes. So it comes down to discerning when it's God's will and when it's the devil fighting you.
Yeah, when it's the devil, it does not last long.
And when it's God?
When it's God, it never stops.
Oh.
Like your problem will grow and grow and grow until you blow up to your face and you get the point, you bang your head against the wall. You cannot fight against God, you'll always lose.
Right, right.
By fighting against the devil, you'll always win if you don't give up.
Amen.
So the devil is like, it's like a, you see all the healing we do here. People come to us for healing, and sometimes terminally sick, we lay hands and they get healed on the spot.
Mm.
Almost all of them. Of course, the ones with a little faith.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the faith, and people get healed on the spot. They don't get healed after 21 days, after 40 days. Jesus lay hands on dead people, they would just resurrect. What I'm trying to say is that the devil does not have the power to endure for a long time. Because Romans 16:20 says the devil, Satan, is under our feet. Luke 10:19, it says, I give you power to tread over scorpions, serpents, and over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
So the reason sometimes the devil can fight you for half a day is because you are confused for half a day. That didn't happen to Jesus. Because the devil fought in 3.5 years, all his ministry, or more than that. But Jesus would just take half a second to overcome. That was Jesus.
So you must have determination to overcome.
You must not doubt. For either doubts, James chapter 1 says, it's like the wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man. Do not doubt.
Amen.
The reason is because the devil can fight us half a day or one day is because we doubt, we waver. We're not full heart. But every time you have full heart, people come, people come here, ask for prayer for healing, they get healed on the spot. I mean, 10 seconds, 2 minutes, that's about it. The devil cannot fight more than that. You understand? So when something is more than half a day, more than 2 days, more than 3 days, consider you are fighting against God.
Yes.
So how do you know? Well, go to the Bible. Well, look what's going on. You say, I don't want to leave this place because I want to have much more money. So then the money doesn't come in. It's like, of course, you are just wasting my time. So whatever it is, you know, like you have a trouble, you're arguing with your wife, you have a fight with a person, you have a disagreement with a brother, and this goes on and on and on. I think it's time for you to have forgiveness, for you to humble, for you to go to Jesus, get on your knees and lock the door and talk to him.
Amen.
But the devil cannot fight you more than a few minutes, a few hours. I mean, if the devil fights you more than half a day, then it's something wrong. That could be God. And it's a plus you have to see what is he fighting for. If this sister could be more specific, maybe what she is fighting, maybe it appears clearly that she's trying to do something wrong. Because if it's right, go on and you'll win. Okay?
Amen. Next question. It's our sweet sister from the States, S. She's asking about seeking God first. What does it mean to seek God first? Does it mean that I have to ask him before I do everything? Does God talk to you all the time about every little thing, or just when it's really important? I'm ashamed to admit this, but sometimes I'm afraid to ask God's opinion about things that I want to do, because to me it seems right to do it, but I'm afraid that if I go to God, he will not approve them. And then, if I still do them, I'm being disobedient. I don't want to disobey. So what's your advice? Sometimes I'm just nervous about finding out God's will, because I feel like it might be something I really don't want to do.
God bless the sister. Amen. Well, you are wrong in the sense, I love you, I'm sorry to disagree with you, but you're wrong in the fact that when you say you don't go to God because you are afraid of what he would tell you, something you don't want to do. Well, let me tell you, even Abraham, when he was sacrificing Isaac, he had a joy in his heart that he was fulfilling God's will, and he had a peace in his heart. He knew it was in God's will, even though he had trials and tribulation and everything, but he knew it was in God's will, and God gave him the strength to do it. It's like a joy. You know, it's like, it's not that you have to sacrifice a son every day. That's an exception.
But he didn't like doing it.
He didn't like doing it, but he had perfect peace in his heart that it was in God's will. What I'm trying to say is that it's not true that what God will tell you to do will always be difficult, will always be against your will, it will always be tribulation. Sometimes it'll be a sacrifice, forsake your money, pay the tithe, go witnessing, you're ashamed of Jesus. But I tell you, that things last very short. What I'm trying to say is this, maybe it's better summed up in Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he give you the desire of your heart. So I often tell my family here, I usually do everything I like.
How can you do that?
I usually do whatever I want.
How can you do that?
Well, read some. Okay. I just quoted to you. You want to go search for it?
Sorry. 27.
Okay. Yeah, 37. 37. Verse 4.
All right.
Okay. If you want the secret to do whatever you want, you have to follow this principle.
Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart.
And it's not usually I am happy what I'm doing. In fact, you know very well in our mission, when it comes to work,
yes.
You know, in the world, the people, you know, as soon as the bell rings, everybody disappears.
Of course, they go home.
Even a lot of church I preached in, and one of the most inspiring time for me is after preaching, just to have some fellowship, some communion with the brethren.
Yes.
And I was shocked. You were there too. Many
yes.
churches you were translating for me in Eastern Europe, in Hungarian or Romania, different languages. And you know what happened? As soon as the scheduled
time
allotted for the message, what would usually happen?
Well, everybody would disappear. They would run home to eat.
They would just jump in the car like they're trying to win a race. It was like, I went through the tribulation. I made it.
And these are people who like the message.
It's terrible. Anyway, the problem we have here in our mission is that people don't want to stop working. I mean, I have to go to him and say, but what are you doing here? You should be resting, reading some word instead of working or continually. You see, it's a little late. You are one of the guilty ones.
Okay.
You are one of the guilty ones I'm talking about. And she, no, I just need to finish this. Okay, just hurry up because...
It's true. It's because we enjoy what we do.
Because Psalm 37:4. Because if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desire of your heart. So most of the time, I do exactly what I like. In fact, in my free day, if you want to know how somebody really is, look at me in the free day. Watch what they do in the free time. When they finish working, what do? Put their feet on the chair, drink a beer, watch TV. That's in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's their God. Because if you spend more time with the TV than God, I tell you, your God is a TV and not God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, not God, the Father of Jesus. Understand? So don't tell me that you love God more than TV and you spend more time with the TV. It's like saying, this is my wife, but I spend more time with another woman. It doesn't go. That says very specific. You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. All right. So if you're there watching sports, watching news, I said that's your God. You know, just like in the Book of Judges and Chronicles, and say they serve the Lord God and they worship idols. Mm-hmm. You see, today Christians are loving God and TV, loving God and sports, serving God. I don't know how, and serving the world. But only, people say, Jesus said that you cannot serve God and mammon. But too many Christians, I don't serve God and mammon, I serve mammon.
Yeah.
In the sense, so it's so sad. So my answer to the sister is very simple. Don't worry to go to Jesus and find out His will, because if you love Him, anything He asks you, He will also give you the way to, He will also open a door. He will also make a way to do. He will give you joy. Jesus said in John 15:11-17, He says, I give you my joy. You know, Jesus was a happy guy. He was a happy man. He was not this dead Jesus on the cross. He's not some of these dead churches proclaiming a dead Christ, stolen, crucified, or some mourning, funeral religion. Jesus was a happy man. In fact, a happy God. Understand? We don't have a dead God, sad, sorrowful, like some of these dead religions. I have a free Jesus, a happy God, an exciting Holy Spirit. And that's why I'm usually happy, praise God. You know me,
yes.
For many years. I mean, I live in happiness, except when things go wrong. I have to rebuke the devil or pray for the sick. I have to rebuke some bad demons, some bad spirits of sickness.
But it's true. I have to tell you that in our mission, Brother Joseph usually goes around being the inspirationalist. He goes around giving hugs to people and telling jokes to people, including his own children. I really like him for that, because he's very youngish and joking. So that's very positive.
Praise God. It's only Jesus. So conclusion, second conclusion again, repetition. It's easy. Go to God. Don't be afraid.
But it's not easy, because it's true that often the Lord does ask us to do things which is hard to let go, to put on the altar things that are hard to let go. I'm talking about good things. It doesn't have to be something bad like drugs or
pornography,
alcohol.
Pornography, adultery.
I'm talking about good things, positive things that are not bad for you. And yet the Lord wants you to put him first.
And Isaac.
And Isaac. Isaac was good, was positive, was a gift from God.
Yeah.
Was nothing bad.
Yeah.
But yet you have to put it on the altar because God wants to be first in your heart. And it hurts and it's hard.
But you see, one thing is God wants you to forsake the garbage, like adultery, pornography. But that's not the offering I can give him.
Yes.
Abraham could know that going to God is, God, I love you so much. Look what I'm offering you. My pornography, my adultery. Understand? No, God said, no, wait a second. Like you see, I think it's in Malachi. It says, cursed be the man that having a good animal offers a lame and a blind animal. Cursed be the man. You cannot offer a crippled animal to God. Something that if you don't give it to God, you throw in the garbage. You know, like today's people pay their tithe through the government. The government says, okay, out of your tax, you can dedicate a percentage for charity. So they give the tithe out of that. That doesn't count. That is not your tithe. That is a tithe of the government. It's the government offering it.
Mm-hmm.
David said in 2 Samuel 24, I will not, he wanted to sacrifice to God, for a sin. And so the man said, he went to this field and said, give me this and that, I need to offer it to God, give me some animals. And the man said, I offer it to you, O king.
For free. Yes.
And David said, no, I will not offer unto my God that which has cost me nothing. You know, like if it doesn't cost you, and God didn't offer, like the Satanists, they kidnap children and sacrifice to the devil. Mm-hmm. That's easy to do for them.
For them, yeah.
But God sacrifices son. We were not redeemed because God took some demon and sacrificed, God didn't stick a knife in the heart of a demon, of a devil, of some antichrist, or some false prophets. It wouldn't be good if you ask me. But no, God sacrificed Jesus Christ, the best of the best of the best of the best. That was his word, became flesh, and God killed it.
It's
killed
true,
him.
Yes.
So it's like... Brethren, if you pay the tithe, don't use the taxes. That is the tithe of your government. It's not yours. You are to sacrifice from Isaac. That's an example, okay? So when you go to God, and it's like, don't be afraid to go to God, because now I will ask you something hard, but usually it's not hard because it gives you joy. You know, when you give, every Christian experience, give it a tithe to a poor, money to this, food to that. What do you feel when you do that? The joy comes into you, right?
But I guess even if it's hard at the time you have to do the sacrifice, the blessing comes afterwards. Mm-hmm. You don't see it, but afterwards the blessing comes and your relationship with God gets stronger and your life changes. So it's worth paying the price.
Well, she was asking anything else? This question?
Yes, she's asking...
Did we answer this question? Was there articulated into...
I would like to ask you, she's saying, I need to go to the Lord and ask him about everything, every step I take, or only the important things?
Well, depends how deep your relationship with Jesus. You know, you can ask God, if you're a girl, you're there combing your hair from the mirror like a lot of you girls here are doing, even too long. So it's like, you can ask, I remember there was a woman I knew, a prophetess. She was asking God, what kind of belt shall I wear, a red belt, a yellow belt? Shall I put these earrings or not?
Really?
She was saying that. She was a testimony she was sharing. She had that gift of prophecy. She could talk to Jesus the way I'm talking to you. And she was getting, in front of me, she was getting incredible prophecies. And she was asking Jesus, Lord, shall I dress up like this or shall I dress up like that? But then she was getting also messages, really important messages, like this one. Just to show you that she was asking God even a small thing. But that's up to you. That depends on your relationship. It's like you have a wife and you talk to your wife just a couple of times a day just to argue. You're not going to go to your wife and ask her every little thing. You're just going to avoid her. And that's a relationship a lot of Christians have with God, like to an enemy. They don't go to God because God is my enemy. He's going to ask me to do something I don't like. You know, he's going to ask me to sacrifice Isaac every two times a day. It's not like that. You know, God is usually ask you to do things which are good for you.
It's true, yes.
If God asks you to sacrifice something you don't like to forsake, pornography, you better listen and forsake it.
Amen.
Like if you're selfish, if you are worshiping TV more than God,
Amen.
If you are enjoying sports more than the Bible, that's your God. And no wonder you're depressed. No wonder you're sad. No wonder the devil has so much power in your life. No wonder your children are rebellious. No wonder you're divorcing. No wonder you have no relationship with your wife or your husband. No wonder you have problems. Because when you are, you know, in I think it was in Judges chapter 2, and Judges chapter 10, chapter 2 and chapter 10, it says, why did you worship your idols? From now on, I'm not going to help you anymore. When you need help, go to your idols. That's what God said. So it's like when you're in trouble, you're divorcing, or you have an accident, or go to your TV and ask for help. Okay. Go to the sports, those guys that make millions of dollars to play, to kick a couple of balls. Go to them and say, hey, I have a cancer. Can you, TV, television, help me. In the name of the TV, I'm healed. Do that. I mean, that's your God. That's where you waste all your time every day. You understand? You see how stupid?
Yes.
I tell you, I used to be like that. God healed me. Praise God. He set me free
now,
from this.
Now, concerning
these drugs.
Concerning your relationship with Jesus, do you ask God about every little thing in your life?
I try as much as possible, yes.
Even to these details, how you dress? And
as much as possible.
Shall I not drink a tea? These kind of things?
Well, it's like, you know, it's like I don't know what I ask God. It's just whatever comes natural. The point is no, do I drink a tea or not. The point is whatever is in my heart. Like my heart is dedicated to Jesus, and my desire is to die in Jesus, to die serving the Lord, and not in some horrible hospital. I want to die with my boots on, like a soldier in the mission field, okay, in the battlefield. So I'm asking God as much as possible. And that's what keeps me out of trouble. And what I don't ask, it gets me in trouble pretty often. That's why I learned to ask him everything. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus said, I can do nothing except what I see my Father doing it. It's like God is not some kind of a statue you see in some churches where you go there and or you some whatever. You know, God is like, it's a spirit. You're like anything you do, you're either led by the spirit of the devil or by the spirit of God. There is no neutrals.
Yes.
You can be led very little by the devil, very much by God, or if you are the spiritual, totally by God and not by the devil, that takes a lot of spirituality. But there is no in between. And yeah. Some people are half and a half. You know, they serve God and mammon, like Jesus said. So yeah, I think you should ask God about everything. You don't ask God, you are in jeopardy or making a mistake. Be careful if you're getting married. Be careful if you buy a car. Be careful if you're changing country. Be careful if you make big plans. Be careful.
But those are big decisions.
That's what I'm saying. Be careful if you make decisions without asking God. And sometimes, to ask God, you have to go to your closet, lock the door, and get on your knees. Other times, you are in front of crossing a border, like we have to cross many borders. Sometimes the police cooperative, sometimes it's not cooperative, etc. Some police is Christian, some police is not Christian. Sometimes they give us hell in some border to cross. Sometimes they make it easy. You
yes.
need the Holy Spirit. And sometimes you have to pray as you go. Like a soldier will pray before and during the battle. There's a time when you go to your closet, lock the door. And there is a time, like Jesus, when he got arrested, they asked to pray as they beat him up, spit him in the face, pull his beard, beat him, tie him up, and bring him to prison. He has to pray as he goes.
Amen.
You know, this Christian I admire very much, Richard Wurmbrand, he was tortured and everything. It's like, you have to pray as they torture you. And you're not going to receive the mark of the beast, which is soon coming. You're not going to. He didn't want to receive the mark of the communist. Understand? You don't want to receive the mark of disobedience. Today, the many Christians are marked by the mark of disobedience. Understand?
I understand. So the more you ask God, the better. Even in details, it's better to ask. But it's kind of according to your faith and depends on your relationship. It's kind of more something you need to develop, to grow into.
Right. There are religionists who just talk to God just by repeating a couple of prayers or 10 prayers, whatever, or by going through a ritual, or they need a religious building to sit down on a bench, repeat, yell and scream hallelujah a few times, but they don't have a relationship. I mean, the Pharisees were having all that, even more, fasting twice a week. Okay, so relationship is with somebody that you love. I'm not very famous for fasting, because if you read Isaiah 58, God says, I don't care about your fasting. My fast is that you love me, the fast I like. So it's not by how often you fast. is like, you know, the Pharisees were rebuking Jesus and the disciples. They were not fast. We fast. How come you guys don't fast?
Actually, I have a few questions about the fasting.
Anyway, it's like, it's a relationship of love, understand? It's like you have a, you are very, very much in love with a girlfriend, and she's wonderful, and she's beautiful, and she's so loving, and the, well, you want to be with her every minute. And then you share the innermost parts of your heart, all your secrets. You have no secret. You love her so much, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, whatever the case. So that's how it is with Jesus. Jesus is the bridegroom. Jesus is not a cross hanging in a religious building, and we're there yelling hallelujah, hallelujah every week.
Amen.
You know, and then in the house we watch TV, and then we watch sports, and then we work for the world 8-9 hours a day, and then we are so tired we can't even read the Bible with our family. And one guy eats a hamburger over here, and another guy fast food over there. No wonder the family are falling apart. Have a relationship with Jesus, and then the relationship with your family flows and follows. Amen?
Amen. Amen.